Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to do something a little different in the sermon today, and that's I'm going to tell you the 3 points up front. So if you get these 3 points and you think, well, that's good enough, then you're free to go. The first is that Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. I'm going to repeat that again. Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. He says that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. All authority and power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, since it's been given to him, his authority is coming from the Father, the creator of the universe, the Father in heaven. His Father gives him all power and authority in heaven and on earth. So that's 2 points, right? The first, Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. Point two, it comes from the Father. His authority comes from the Father. And third, Jesus, as we've been talking about in Pentecost, as kingdom of heaven, as the reign and rule of God in Christ on earth, Jesus is the one who exercises that power and authority in heaven and on earth. And he chooses to do it in a number of different ways. And through the Gospels, we see that. We see Jesus exercising the power and authority of the kingdom in a number of different ways. So that brings us to today's gospel, where the Pharisees ask him, who gave you permission to do these things? Where did you get your authority? Where do you get your call to do these things? Who said you could heal the sick? Who said you could give the blind their sight? Who said you could open the ears of the deaf? Who said you could tell the lame to walk? Who said that you could raise the dead? Who gave you that authority? Now they're thinking, of course, earthly authority. Who gave him the permission to go about the region and do those things? What sect was he coming from? Was it the Pharisees? Well, it wasn't the Pharisees, because they would recognize him. Maybe it was the Sadducees that gave him the authority. Maybe it was the Essenes who gave them the authority. Maybe it was some other group, the Samaritans, or who knows who gave him the authority. And that's what the Pharisees want to know. Who gave you the authority to do these things? Well, we know from point one that Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and point two, that God the Father gave him the authority. Now, Jesus could have said, the Father gave me authority. And in fact, in other places, when he's talking with the disciples, he says that. I bring the message that the Father gives me to speak. I don't speak on my own accord. I don't give myself glory. I don't assume power and authority for myself. It all comes from the Father. He tells his disciples that. It all comes from the Father. Now, why didn't Jesus just say that? He's in the temple. He's teaching. He's healing. He's doing these things. Why didn't he just say, my authority comes from the Father? Well, because that would have just drove them crazy. Plus, he wanted to see where they were, as always. What is it that they were trying to do? They were trying to get him to say it was my authority. He was trying to assume that it was him and that he was claiming to be God and all of the things that would get him in trouble that they could arrest him for. But they don't have an answer, because they're caught between a rock and a hard place, right? If they say yes, the discussion goes back and forth. If they say yes, well, then John's baptism comes from heaven. If they agree with that, well, then why are they harassing Jesus? But if they say, no, it came from man, John's baptism came from man, it was just John making stuff up and getting people wet in the river, it was all his thing, well, then the people who believed that John was a prophet would have a hard time with those Pharisees. They'd lose their grip. So they're caught. They don't have an answer. It's right where Jesus wants them, right? He wants them to realize that their ways are futile. Their ways are not going to amount to anything, So they ought to admit right then and there that Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth, and that authority was given to him by the Father, and that he could exercise that authority in ways that would bring wonder and amazement. They weren't quite ready to admit that. Where does your authority come from? Earthly authority is a funny thing because it's flighty. At one point, certain people have authority. At other points, other people have authority. Today, in this day and age, oh my goodness, who has authority over anything anymore? You know, nobody is really saying, well, you know, the government has all authority. Well, they have some, not all. Well, the scientists and all of these people doing these things, they have authority. Well, some, not all. Nobody has all power and authority, and that's probably a good thing. Because when people claim all power and authority, bad stuff happens. Think about if you claimed all power and authority over everybody else and even yourself. What would this world look like? Not good. Not good. We don't deal with power and authority very well. There's that old saying, you know, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and however that phrase came to be, it's very true. You give somebody any amount of power and authority, and it can go wrong really fast. And we spend our lives trying to get some kind of power, authority, control over something. It starts from when they're very, very little. Have you ever noticed a two-year-old trying to exercise power and authority? Even my lovely, wonderful grandson. There are times when he's trying to exercise power and authority and it ends up in a temper tantrum. Doesn't go well. Right? Because he doesn't have power and authority, even though he wants it from a very early age. He wants to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it, and he wants you to make it happen. And if you don't, I'm going to throw a fit. That doesn't change. We still do that. Those of you who have had teenagers in life, you know the struggle for power and authority and autonomy, and I want my own stuff, and I want my own identity, and this is the way I'm going to make it happen. And when it doesn't, what happens? I throw a fit. Their fits sometimes are just a lot bigger, more destructive, and potentially expensive. We all want, on some level, power, control, authority. But as those who believe in Christ, Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. That means that Jesus, as the kingdom of heaven, as the reign and rule of God in Christ through the Holy Spirit on earth, he has authority over everything, including you. And not just some of you or part of you, all of you. He has authority over your mind, over your heart, over your body, over your soul, over your spirit. He has authority over all of that. And what do we spend our lives doing is fighting him. That's the sinful life. That's why life is full of suffering and hurt and pain and struggle, because we spend our lives fighting against the one who has all power and authority. And it shows up, oh my goodness, in any number of ways. Now, I'll admit, it is difficult as a human being full of this struggle for power and authority to say that Jesus has all power and authority over me. Because there's some part of me that still wants some of it. Jesus, you can have power and authority over this, but I'm going to keep it over this. No, it doesn't work that way. It's an all or nothing thing with Jesus. We realize that, don't we? That with Jesus as the one who has all power and authority, with Jesus as the one who has been given that authority by God the Father, with Jesus as the one who exercises that authority, it's all or nothing. In our Old Testament reading, it's you live or you die. That's it. There's no other in between. Which is actually the best news ever. Because Jesus doesn't operate in fractions. He doesn't operate in part. He doesn't forgive just a little bit. He doesn't have mercy on just a few. He doesn't pour out his grace only a little. He is over and abundant with all of the authority and power he's been given. And he chooses to use it by going to the cross, by absorbing the payment for sin, the suffering, the wrath of God on his shoulders as the one who has been given, yes, power and authority over all things. He takes that and he absorbs all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the death that comes to us. He exercises his power and authority in an ultimate sacrifice for us. He doesn't lord it over us. You notice that, I hope, that even though Christ has all power and authority, he doesn't lord it over us to keep us down and oppressed and tell us all of the rules by which we have to live and check the list off. If you're going to make it into heaven, you got to do all of these things. And if you get one of them wrong, forget it. You fail the test and you're out of luck. He doesn't operate that way. You notice that throughout the Gospels, when somebody wants their eyes to be opened, he doesn't say, well, what good things have you done? Do you deserve to have your eyes opened? No, he just says, be open. For the lame man, he doesn't say, well, you know, I'll heal you, but you got to do these things first. You got to get your life in order first if I'm going to do this. No, he simply says, get up and walk. When it comes to the forgiveness of sins, he doesn't say, well, you know, maybe I will if you tell me you're going to be a good person, you're not going to do these things anymore, well, then I'll forgive you if you do that. No, he simply says, your sins are forgiven. Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. It's been given to him by the Father, and he chooses to use it in a way that is full of grace, full of love. He doesn't use it in ways that we human beings would. He doesn't use it for his own advantage. He doesn't use it to advance his cause. He doesn't use it to achieve his agenda. He doesn't use it to lord it over people. He uses it in mercy on all of us who every day fight him on it. And yet, here he is again. Today, saying, your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your mercy, you've been given mercy. You've been given grace. You've been given forgiveness. The love awaits you in the meal. The love of God awaits you. The forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our faith, all of these amazing things. This is how Jesus uses that power and authority. He uses it for you, for me, for his children, for those who struggle every single day to simply make it through the day. It's for you. His grace today is for you. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ be in our hearts and minds and keep us in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.